Hey guys, it's Justine.
And I'm Jenna.
Welcome to the Same Brain Podcast. Today is episode number 43, and we have a special guest. This guest was our first ever guest on our podcast, so this means this is our first reoccurring guest.
Can you believe it?
I can't believe it.
Roll that intro.
So as I said in the intro, we have a special guest, Jenna. Would you like to tell them who our special guest is?
We have Phil Spencer, the head of Xbox on Same Brain Podcast once again. I can't believe it. It was almost a year ago that he was our first ever guest on the podcast.
It's kind of funny because we started this podcast just sort of for fun. And then now I can't believe we have made it a whole year just about.
I can't actually believe it either.
The 13th of June was when we did our first episode. So that is like this weekend.
It is. It's also the date of the Xbox and Bethesda Games Showcase.
It's going to be a really fun weekend, and I'm excited because this is kind of like the summer of games. This is where a lot of things are announced. Normally we have E3, and then we also now have the Summer Games Fest, which Jeff Keighley started last year, and I watched it today at the time of recording. This was the first big announcements that they have, and it was really, really fun.
It is. I actually started playing more games because I was like, you know what? I need to make more time now that all these gaming announcements are happening. So I've been playing some Resident Evil. I started playing Ori, even though that came out last year. If you guys are watching, we have a nice Xbox Game Pass
set
in the background.
We've got controllers. We've got the Xboxes.
We've got a whole thing. We just wanted to have our finest set so that Phil Spencer would want to come back for maybe a third.
Maybe. You never know. Without further ado, Jenna, let's chat with Phil. Well, Phil, thank you so much for joining us again. Like, this is crazy to think that you were our first actual guest on Same Brain Podcast.
I was there to trial so you guys could get started. Now you're like all going professional, get the full thing. Congrats on all the success with the show. It's fantastic.
Thank you. You too. And we were even talking before. We're like, wait, the Xbox wasn't even out yet. And do you know why? Somebody hid a secret Xbox in the background and we could not believe it.
On the bookshelf, the Series S was just there and none of us saw it. We didn't even know. Had no idea.
And now you're repeating it right over your head. Yeah. Right there, over your shoulders.
See, we can actually show it. Yep, there it is. Yep. It's beautiful. Right. The Series S, oh man, it's so incredible. It's so small. I really, really love it. And it looks so great back there. We also have the Series X. We're not going to leave that one out either, so that's also back there.
We've got our Game Pass up there too as well. So we're actually back on the East Coast, and Jenna wanted to do a controller video. Mm-hmm. And how many controllers did you pack in your suitcase?
14, but I took out the batteries before.
And is that a carry-on, or is that a, do you check that?
It was a checked thing where then actually my luggage, I didn't make the flight, but my luggage did. So then I was like, oh my gosh, where are my beloved Xbox controllers? But it worked out. I got the luggage. The controllers are all here. So,
and you guys have a big weekend coming up here.
Yeah, it is exciting. You know, we have obviously Xbox and Bethesda together really for the first time. We've obviously done things together before, but as part of one team, that's exciting. I love this time of year where the industry comes forward to show our best of our art form, you know, what everybody's trying to create. I just think it's fantastic. I miss being in person in LA, seeing friends and the community and all the energy that's there. But we wanted as a team to keep it going. So I'm glad we get to do the show, and I'm excited to see what people say.
I saw like the little montage when we were watching one of the briefings. And you had like the fan fest, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's so weird because it feels like it's been such a long time since we've had that experience. But to just see that and kind of relive that, it's like we're all kind of separate, but yet, you know, gaming, I think, has brought us so much closer together this year.
Absolutely. And, you know, playing, we've seen it. Like, we've just seen this huge swell and people playing online and friends that have been created, literally like tens of millions of new friends created online, people playing. And now, as you talk about, like, there's also that physical side of it that we see at places like E3 and Gamescom and these other places that we've missed. But hopefully we're kind of reaching a point where those things will start to come back in a safe way. And we're going to do a fan fest this weekend, which will be fun. We're doing it kind of virtually, but it'll be fun to get to spend time with people even online answering some questions and hanging out.
That's really cool. I feel like, too, you're probably able to maybe accommodate maybe more people, too. Although FanFest, there was a lot of people, but I'm sure more people now digital.
Yeah, not everybody can travel to LA. I think, you know, looking forward, we've learned a ton over the last 18 months, both how we work and how we talk to the community, how we listen. And I think there's some things that will continue. That, like you said, having a virtual fan fest just makes a ton of sense because not everybody can get into that small area that we have. And yet you want everybody to feel included in what we're trying to go do. So I think going forward, we'll look at how this goes this weekend, but I hope it becomes more of a permanent part of what we do.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's been really fun, even like going to a lot of these briefings. And I know a lot of my friends who weren't able to ever travel before, now everyone does feel more included. And it's funny that you mentioned meeting friends. We did a road trip a couple months ago up the coast, and we met a girl just online, and she was like one of our mods in our Twitch channel. And then we went and visited her in her family's restaurant. I was like, it wouldn't have been for gaming. Like, we would have never met her. So it was just really cool.
Oh my gosh. And she's a chef, and she like made us this like incredible meal and like gave us things to go. And yeah, it was really because of like Twitch and because of gaming that, you know, we found her and discovered her and became friends. And it was really, really incredible. And it was during this time where, you know, we weren't really leaving our house and we were all just connecting online. And it was because of gaming. It's so cool.
So many of my friends, I'll play games a lot of nights, and people now that I've had the chance, like you were talking about a couple of times, to actually meet them in person. But like 99% of my relationship with this person is playing games with them online. But that's just kind of what gaming has become for the generation that's coming up. It just creates connections where physical boundaries or other things have kept people apart. I think it's just like one of the strengths of what gaming is about is how it can bring people together.
Yeah. I think speaking about kind of what's coming up, like, I think that's something that I'm so excited about. I know we both are, like, the future of gaming. And I think you guys have been doing so much to kind of push that forward, especially with Game Pass and cloud gaming. Like, it's so crazy to me to think that, like, I can open up a browser and play Xbox games.
You know, it was a couple of holidays ago, if you remember, we had an ad for the Xbox Adaptive Controller, and there was this, the slogan was, when everybody plays, we all win. And it was something that the team has really taken to heart. And that's not just around kind of the physical limitations that certain people have. There's also financial, right? It's not the buying a console, buying video games is a barrier to some people playing the devices that they have. And all of these things have really driven the team to think about how can we make gaming more possible for more people? Because we just think there's a uniqueness in getting that interactivity among more people. 3 billion people on the planet play video games today, but a lot of them play in very separate worlds, different devices that don't allow people to play with each other. And whether it's subscriptions, which, you know, bring more games in, we see that in people in Game Pass, they're playing more games, they're playing with their friends, whether it's things like the Adaptive Controller or bringing Xbox to web browsers around the world. All of this is just around how can we allow more people to experience the greatness that you and I, we all see when the power of what games can bring.
Yeah, and it's crazy though, because, you know, we all have been around to see this entire shift. So a lot of kids now, like, they didn't know what it was like back in my day.
Back in the old days.
And it's cool because, you know, I was so young, so I was kind of, I wasn't really fully understanding the whole gaming concept. Like, when I was like 5 years old, my mom bought me like our first like Nintendo console. And now just to like kind of think back to like where we are now and to see kids, you know, playing on just like their phones, like playing Halo on like an Android device. I'm like, do you know how lucky you are right now?
I know.
It's impressive.
It's true. When you think about some of the biggest games on the planet, think about like a Roblox or a PUBG or Genshin Impact, Minecraft, Fortnite. You know, like for somebody like that grew up in this space, games were kind of per device, right? Like, oh, that was a Nintendo game, or that was a PC game, or that was an Xbox or a PlayStation game. But in today's world, I just think people just want to be able to play, right? And they want access to the games wherever they are. They want to have access to their friends. I want to be able to play with my friends, regardless of what device they're on, we just want to be able to play together, because that's the unique power. And that's really, it kind of drives us in what we do as a team. But as you're saying, it's also kind of different. So certain people look at it and like, well, what does this cloud thing mean? Does it mean you're going to forget? Are you distracted from the stuff that we really care about, our console and PC and the greatness of the games? I'm just proud of the team because they're balancing a lot. They're doing a lot. But that North Star of how do we just allow more people to experience what this industry is all about is the thing that really drives us. And it's fantastic to see the progress we're all making as an industry.
And more people, I mean, I believe you guys are up to what, around 18 million members of Game Pass Ultimate or Game Pass, I believe?
That's the last number that we announced. Yeah.
Oh,
The success on Game Pass has just been fantastic. I remember when we started it was about 3 years ago. And, you know, whenever you do something new, whether it's starting a new show or doing something new, it's like you're always, there's this worry, trepidation. What's going to happen? What's going to come of this? And now to sit here so many years later and see what it's not only meant to players, but also games that have found millions of players that probably would not have found their game without the kind of easy access that the subscription brings. That's the thing that really lights me up, is I want all kinds of games to be successful, and not just the kind of certain hit genre or hit business model of the day. And I think things like Game Pass can really help. And that's been, to me, the best part of it.
I think it's great, too, because a lot of these publishers also have to get on board. So I'm sure at the beginning it was kind of difficult to try to be like, hey, we're doing this new thing. This is going to be different. But I think the subscription model is something that people have become very familiar with. So I think now it's just like, okay, I'm going to choose, you know, my top three subscriptions, and Xbox Game Pass is one of them.
And that's really the reason behind some of the studio acquisitions we've done, is there is, as you say, whenever you try to do something new, some of the third parties might look with some skepticism of like, okay, what's the trick? Like, what are you, and that they might wait, which is fine. Like, they have their own businesses to go run. So now that our first party has grown, and now we have Bethesda on board, and you know, seeing amazing games that are coming to game, like I'm playing the original Psychonauts right now, which actually looks fantastic on the Series X, which is what I'm playing on. And then to see Tim Schafer and the team and almost done with Psychonauts 2, and just knowing how many people are going to experience a game like that, because it hits Game Pass. But it's our first party capability to go and do some things maybe before some of the third parties might do them on their own, helps prove it out. And we're seeing that now. We're seeing more day and date games from big third parties come into Game Pass, and it just brings more value to the people who are subscribers.
I got very excited when I saw Grand Theft Auto 5 come to Game Pass, because it was literally like 2 days before. I was like, oh, I really want to start streaming this. I should just buy it. And then I was like, why is this still full price? And I was like, I'm not going to buy it. And then it came to Game Pass. I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. Now I don't have to.
What I think is giving life to these games that, you know, people kind of have stopped playing, or maybe not necessarily stopped playing, but just not playing as much. So it's just really kind of breathing this whole new life into it.
Yeah. And even games that maybe are in genres that you don't traditionally play or don't traditionally buy, where you're reading the descriptions, you're reading some reviews, and you're trying to say, okay, do I want to go invest in this? And the other thing we see, and I know we're a little bit like a Game Pass ad when I go down this path, but it's just true that Game Pass subscribers actually buy more games, right? Because they play more games, they find more games that they love. They might find like this version of the game and want to figure out what other things this developer has done or what other great games are in this genre. So it's really fantastic that people are trying out new games. And then it also leads just to better business for the studios, which is important, right? Because if the studios aren't building a good business for themselves, clearly they won't continue to work with us on the model. So it's nice to see how many have come back and continued to refresh and renew with Game Pass. It's just a good sign.
So speaking of games, what games are you currently playing?
So like I said, I'm playing through Psychonauts 1 right now, the original game, which funny, when I remember early in Xbox, we had three platformers that were all like we're all trying to ship at the same time. We ended up only shipping one of them, which was Voodoo Vince. But Psychonauts started as a game inside of Xbox Game Studios. And then it was finally published by Majesco. But going back, and the writing is just so fantastic, and it holds up so well. And it through things like auto HDR and stuff on the console, it looks great. So I'm playing. I'm about 12 hours in to Psychonauts 1. I'm playing that. I still play a lot of Destiny.
Oh, so good. It really is. It's so good. Yeah. Every time I want to play it, I'm like, do I have 6 hours to sit here? Because like, I'm not going to do anything else.
I just like playing with friends. And so I'll play a game like Psychonauts or a single player game. And then at certain times people start coming online and it's just such a good co-op experience. I think I'm at 1325, my light level in this season, and having a great time with that. And more I'm playing versions of games that aren't coming out yet, but on my debug kit, starting to play some of the things that are coming this year. And really excited about some of the cool things that our teams will be coming on. But I'm always playing. P3 is my gamer tag. People jump into my parties and play all the time. So I learn a ton from what the community's doing. How about you guys? What are you excited about right now?
Well, before we get into that, so those dev games that you're playing, is there anything that like, you know, you might want to talk about? Like you might want to just say, oh yeah, well, I was playing this one. It was really great. Do you have any favorites?
Well, I mean, not all of them are announced. That's the hard part. Hopefully after Sunday, it'll get more interesting and we can talk more about
that. Okay. That's what we were hoping for. Well, I guess one thing. Okay. So if we don't ask you about this game, like we're going to get made fun of in the comments.
It's true.
You can, you know, choose to answer this however you want to answer it, but
or don't answer it.
Or, well, you know, but we just need to know that we asked.
Oh, so Sunday is going to be the Xbox and Bethesda mm-hmm. games showcase. Speaking of games, the highly anticipated Halo has been something, you know, we want it. Is there anything that you can tell us, or is there anything we might be seeing on Sunday regarding Halo?
As long as we don't tell Bonnie. Because Bonnie Ross, who runs the studio, like, so just between us.
Okay, just between us. We'll,
secret.
We'll,
yeah, shh.
So cool thing is where my office is, and this is in the building I'm in, and the Halo building's not too far away. So I get to sneak over and play. So we go over and do gameplay sessions probably every other week with the team, which is a lot of fun. I will recommend not playing multiplayer with the testers that are working on the game. Mm-mm. It's just destruction. Like,
oh, I can't imagine.
But game's playing great, looks great. It will be there Sunday, and I'm excited about what the team is showing. You know, Halo, it's our 20th anniversary as Xbox, which is so fun, which means it's Halo's 20th anniversary as well. And there's just such an iconic partnership between what Xbox is and what Master Chief means. So the fact that this year we're going to get to ship our game and see it on the new consoles and stuff will just be great. I'm really looking forward to that. I mean, but yeah, it's there.
Okay, this is, you guys heard it here first. This
no,
is incredible.
No, we didn't hear anything. Shh, secrets.
You didn't hear anything first.
I mean, I think, like, obviously it was a really tough choice to hold off on launching this, but, you know, like you said, like, this is such an important game, and I think doing it right means more to players than having it at the beginning. Obviously, yes, we would have loved to have it, but I would rather have a fully finished game and, you know, have a great experience.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of saw what happened, you know, earlier this year with a game that was released, and it didn't go as planned, so you definitely don't want that to happen. And I also think you guys made the right call, and we're just excited. We're not gonna be going anywhere. We're gonna wait, and mm-hmm. we're gonna play, and it's gonna be incredible.
Yeah, I'm really excited too. I mean, the energy that you feel when something like a big game like Halo comes out, just it's so almost overwhelming, like that the interest in people trying to pontificate like what might be going on. But Sunday we'll do a good job. The team, I've seen what we're going to show. I'm proud of it, and I feel really good about the work that Joe and the team are doing in getting to launch. So I'm looking forward to that.
We're very excited.
We are very excited. But what we've been playing is I realized I never played Ori Will of the Wisps, so I started playing that. And then I also started playing the new Resident Evil. And since we are staying at our sister's house, like, I'm sleeping in, like, it's a finished basement, but it's a basement. And I was, like, playing before bed. And I'm like, this is scary. I am so scared. So I had to, like, turn that off and go back to Ori. But I've been playing that and Microsoft Flight Sim. Flight Sim has been so much fun.
You cannot pick three more opposite games
I know.
To be playing.
I'm not well.
It's like...
The thing about Flight Sim is when that first came out, like, nobody was traveling, nobody was doing anything. And now, having played that game so much and actually getting on a plane, it's kind of scary.
It's terrifying.
Because like, I know what goes into this now.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, if I had to land this plane, we would have to get, like, no, I would not feel safe. But it was interesting because it was really fun, like, learning and going through the process. And also, yeah, we weren't traveling. So, like, I took, you know, I was on a flight to Hawaii, just, like, cruising where we usually go. And I'm like, oh my gosh, someday.
But it was cool, like, taking off and, like, landing in these airports that I've actually flown in. Like, it's so weird and it's so realistic. And then we actually overheard a pilot that was, like, talking about, like, some sort of pilot lingo. And I was like, do we understand what he's saying? I didn't.
I don't think I did.
I was like, do we know anything in our training that might have led us? Do we have a problem? Should we get on this plane?
Something never happened. You could jump right in.
No, like, no. I know that I couldn't jump right in. I would be like, look, I probably have logged this many hours of Flight Sim, but my percentages of, you know, actually good landings is very low. But since we actually did have early access to the game, one of my proudest moments was having a top 10 landing spot on the charts. But once
no
again,
one else
no one had
it.
The game except the devs. So
well, top 10, don't take it from you.
I have a screenshot. I was seventh. So it happened.
It's such a stunning game. Like, every time I see any screenshot, I'm not very good at landing. I can take off. I'm not the best at landing. But it's just to think that's the longest running Microsoft franchise. It predates Windows. It's the longest running franchise that's kind of still in development, which is bizarre to think about. And I go back and I look at some of the early Flight Sims, which at the time I remember sitting there thinking, like, this is as realistic as anything on a computer could look like. And now when you just compare it to this, like, just jaw-dropping visuals that Asobo and the team have been able to put together for Flight Sim now, it's just ridiculous how good that game looks.
It looks so good, and I am really excited to eventually see it on console, is right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it will.
Okay, eventually. It, we'll, Okay.
One of the things also I saw you guys announce, which was kind of cool, is the potential, was this officially announced or was this a rumor? The Xbox TV app. So that would be something that would be on televisions. Is that true or did I read a rumor?
We've been very focused on how do we make the games that creators make on our platform playable by more people. The web is obviously probably the most accessible to people. I've seen people playing now Xbox on their Tesla kind of dashboards. I drive a Jeep Wrangler. It doesn't have that capability, but like I've seen this. So on a lot of these smart TVs, there is a web browser. So it will work, but we also know for like ease of use and discovery that we'll probably want to put an app on some of those platforms. So we did talk about that more and just kind of where we're going, that we want to make Xbox as accessible to as many people as possible, and working with some of the TV manufacturers to be part of that, continuing the rollout of the web release. We're now this month, we're actually putting the Xbox Series X blades in the data centers. So people will be playing on that generation when they're playing on xCloud, which is going to be a new thing for us, and getting to bring that experience to so many screens. I'm playing a ton right now, using our Xbox Series X blades in the data centers and just getting a feel for it. Latency is better. The visual quality is better. It's still, obviously, if you play on a high-end gaming PC or a local device, it's going to be better, obviously, because it's just local. But yeah, so for us, if there's better ways that we can bring those experiences to televisions and other devices, we're going to be all in on doing it. We are all in on making more people, giving more people access to playing Xbox. No doubt about that.
And I mean, the TVs are just getting better. And obviously, I mean, they're basically a computer at this point. I mean, you're able to run all of these apps, and then there's all kinds of like fitness apps and things like that. So it's like, it's definitely possible. So the fact that you guys are gonna be able to have an app on your television could be really, really cool.
I think so. And then we're working on how do we make sure the controller works well, because it's not always easy to bind. Because like, you know, this is a multi-year journey for us. With xCloud, we never stood up and said, hey, in the next year, everybody's going to go sell their consoles and this is going to be the way everybody plays. And I still don't believe that. I still think we're like years and years away from the experience mimicking what your local hardware would do. And frankly, that's not even really the goal for us. We like building consoles. We like gaming PCs. It's really just about certain people that's not part of what they're going to do in their home. And we don't want the limitation of any one piece of hardware, any one device to keep them from being able to play. As you said, there are great TVs out there. Frankly, there's good tablets, there's good phones, and we'll stay focused on listening to our customers like we always have, and where they want to play and how we can make that possible.
No, it's super exciting. I think there's also mention of a streaming stick as well.
When we think about some TVs out there don't have this app platform that lets people do apps, and is there something we could do at a lower price that would allow somebody to just plug something in? There's good third-party solutions out there. Roku makes a good device. Fire TV is a good device. Like, there's a lot of them. So we think, is there something we'd ever want to do with an Xbox brand that just had our wireless for our controller and all of that stuff? So we haven't really announced anything, but just this is all kind of our future thinking on areas that we will likely go to bring the power of what our creators can do to more people.
Yeah, no, it totally makes sense. And also, so we're actually at our sister's house, like we mentioned, and our parents' house, like, it's honestly the worst internet.
Is it like dial-up?
It's DSL.
It's so bad.
So it's so terrible.
Oh, it's DSL.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
Jenna had to bring her Xbox here to download her games so that she can then go back home. And then it's great because we can obviously use like the expansion cards. So you're able to bring those back from Los Angeles. Yeah. That's also a hurdle because, you know, the internet is not the best everywhere. It's like my parents, like they're pretty tech savvy. Like, unfortunately, where they live, they have no other options. So
I was able to play a bunch of campaigns though.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'll play campaign. And I you know what? Yeah. I was able to hop into a multiplayer Call of Duty match, and I was so shocked. I was like, oh my gosh, maybe the internet. And then it like went out, but it is depending on the internet. But hopefully, I feel like with the internet and now, you know, we
5G.
Have 5G, you know, with things getting better, hopefully that will, you know, fix things for a lot of people like my poor parents who live in the middle of nowhere and us just trying to game.
It's the right example though, because like as a tech industry, even as a gaming industry, we like to sometimes say that everything's going to be this or everything's going to be that. And in the end, there's nothing that's everything. Like, it is the diversity of what people do and how they play. And it's absolutely why those consoles are behind the two of you, is because it might be for your parents' situation for many, many years, the best thing is to get a console that has a drive so you can go buy a disc and put it in the drive and go play a game. And we don't want to take that choice away either, right? Because it's, as you said, there's just certain scenarios where the best example isn't going to be streaming or downloading all the games to the platform. It is really about choice for the customers, because everybody has their own unique situation, and it shouldn't be about what we need or what we want as a company. It really should be about what our customers need.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you guys have been doing a great job about that. And then is also another thing I think you guys are doing a great job at is accessibility. So I know you guys had a few announcements on that front as well. Do you want to talk a little about that?
You know, that's been such a good journey for us as a team. I'd say there's a couple things I'd like to hit on that we've learned. There was a really nice Reddit post that somebody put up last week about Copilot. And I don't know if you remember Copilot, the ability to take two controllers and actually play as one. So if somebody either doesn't have the ability or is just not as experienced playing, two people can actually use the controller to go play one. And it was a really nice write up of somebody was talking about how this had made gaming more accessible for them and their family. And that was something we did a couple of years ago, because a lot of these things, there are things we'll put in the platform, but creators have to adopt it. Right. And it takes time for creators to see what's in the platform, to see the promise of it and make the investments. We talked about the adaptive controller, which is just continues to be a fantastic thing to enable more people to play. Now we're really focusing on, as kind of our next wave of kind of sight impaired, and is there for hearing impaired, sight impaired people, are the things that we can do to make not only gameplay, but also community. So people understand when they're in a party, they can maybe read what's being said in the party if they can't hear it. And it's been really great to just work with some of the amazing groups that are out there. I know you know some of these groups as well, that really bring an authentic point of view to us as we're building the platform on what we can do to help those communities and take the feedback from them on the things that they're looking for us as a platform. So we're going to continue to make investments in hardware and software, because it's something that's just kind of part of our culture now as Team Xbox. And I'm really just encouraged by all the stories and successes I see out there.
Yeah, when I saw you guys announce that you were going to be working on the text-to-speech and speech-to-text for Xbox Party Chat, I was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. And also you guys are having guidelines that you're kind of setting to creators and, you know, game developers of how they can do best practices for accessibility. Like, I think that's really great.
Yeah, you know, Tara Volker's out there, and she's such a great advocate for us on the team and these, and Tara's helped us really frame our internal thinking. But what we heard from a lot of creators was they didn't have their own in-house testing capability. So as you bring up, our ability to allow somebody to send us a game and have us, and frankly, we don't really care what platform the game is on. It's not about an Xbox thing, it's about a gaming thing. But to help with the practices we have internally and some of the feedback that we get to help them understand the perspective of players for their game, because some of the smaller studios just don't have the resources to go do that. So like I said, it's almost just become part of the culture of the team. And this stuff just happens organically inside of the organization, which is just fun to be a part of.
I think it's really listening to the audience, because there's probably a lot of needs that you're not even aware of that somebody might find helpful. So I think that's really great that you guys are able to listen, and that there's creators out there that are actually, you know, being vocal and being like, this is something that we need. So it's really incredible.
You see that in representation in games. You see it about in accessibility in games. As our art form of gaming and game creation really gets to mainstream, and I keep bringing up, you know, 3 billion people who play video games. But I think part of that for us as an industry, creators who are like you creating content, people who are creating video game content on the platforms, I think it raises our responsibility as an industry to be reflective and give everybody a sense of belonging in what we're doing. And there's work on toxicity that we all know is there that we have to go and tackle as an industry. But I think it's just in the decades that I've been in this industry, it's been really great to see us raise our consciousness and our discussions about these topics as an industry. Because, you know, 20, 30 years ago, this would not have been a topic that the game industry was talking about. But how many kids are now living their stories that they remember or stories that they played in video games, in addition to books and movies? And what does that mean? You know, games like Tell Me Why, which is a game we shipped last year with Don't Nod, which is a fantastic game, which is actually free this month for Pride Month. But the experience we had in building that game and bringing that experience of playing as a transgender man as a lead character in the game was just... it was literally eye-opening to some of the experiences they have to think about. And that, I think, is just what gaming is growing into and its global, the global impact that we can have. And I'm really proud of how the industry, you know, Sony's first party teams have done some fantastic work there. Other platforms have taken different approaches. We work together on some topics. But it's a really maturing of what this industry is about, and I'm proud of it.
I think it's great because I feel like even growing up, you know, just as a young girl, like I was playing these games and I was like, I don't see myself in this game. So it's really great that people are being included and there's so many more options so that you can feel like you actually are playing as yourself. So it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, Xbox has really done a great job of, you know, all the representation as well as, you know, all the inclusion. So you guys have always been incredible, and that's why we are such huge fans of everything. Yes, we love the consoles, we love the games, but we love what you guys also stand behind.
Thank you. I mean, there's a lot more to do. I don't think it's a challenge that goes away. I think it actually just grows as our relevance grows. But I appreciate the call out of the work that the teams do. And like I said, it's something that's core to what we're about at this point. So it's not a passing fad for us as Team Xbox. It's something that we will stay on.
No, I think it's great. And you're kind of setting that representation too for other companies to be like, look, this is what we're doing. This is something that's important. And hopefully everybody follows.
One of the things I often think about is what does it mean to be part of Microsoft, you know, big, huge tech company. And I think one of the things we can do as Xbox inside of Microsoft is be public about the things that we stand for. And the company has led, you know, Satya Nadella, our CEO, when they went out, the company, and we talked about our carbon footprint as a company, and we had public goals about our carbon footprint or our people of color and representation in our senior ranks as a company. When you're out there and you're public about those goals of when are you going to be carbon negative, when are you going to be carbon neutral or negative and neutral, and what does that mean? Like, I just think, as you said, it sets a bar out there that it's okay to take a public stand on these things. In fact, it's important to. When you have the resources to go do those things, not to get all soapboxy on this, I'll apologize. But no. I do think it's good to be public about what you stand for and to be public about the areas where you need to do better. You've got to be willing to accept both of those because we all can do better. Like that's just, it's part of it, and accept that.
For sure. And I was actually very lucky to get a chance to go and visit the Microsoft, like the actual studios this year for CES.
Yeah. Right.
It was great. It was like the first time I had traveled in over a year. And I was like, this was amazing. So it was really great to kind of just go see like where all of this happens. And a lot of the stuff that you guys film, you guys actually filmed in those studios.
I'll be looking forward now that I come in a couple days of the week, but there's not many people here. I'm looking forward to when the offices feel alive again and there's more people here. We're getting there. Like we want to do it in a safe way, but that sense of community when everybody's around, the energy is just, it's inspiring.
For sure, yeah. But we know you are very busy and there's going to be a very busy weekend. So we won't take up too much of your time, but is there anything that you want to say, anything that you want to end on? Go ahead.
Any secrets?
Yeah, any secrets.
Like, totally fine. I see you were smart this time and you didn't hide anything in the background.
We don't know. Well,
there could be something.
Jeff moved me out of my office, so I couldn't do that.
Oh, gotcha.
No, I'll say again, congrats on your show.
Thank you.
It's really cool to see what you guys are doing, and especially in kind of a crazy year with all kinds of disruptions, and you've stuck at it. So congrats on that. It's been fun to watch. I'll just say this is such a cool week, and it kicked off with the Summer Game Fest today. There's a bunch of exciting things, and I just really love feeling the energy of the community and the great. Our creators putting their best foot forward. I want everybody just to have a good time. Let's make this about positivity and applauding when people are trying to do some amazing things for all the platforms. I just, you know, to me, this industry is growing so fast. The opportunity for us is to grow, to stay, keep our relevance, as we both talked about, stand for some things that are important. And let's just keep going and doing that. I'm excited about Sunday. There's some surprises in the show. There's some things that people want to go see that we've shown before. It's a good show, and I'm incredibly proud of the team doing the work that they did in just difficult times. So it'll be fun.
Awesome. And speaking of the show, I will say that I was excited to see that you guys added an events section on the Xbox. So I've already clicked. I was interested in the show. So that was fun. It's like, I think it's in beta, but was like, that's cool. Right. Yeah. I was like, oh, this is cool. So as a consumer, that's my personal feedback. I like that.
Shade it. All right. I got that. We'll get it out of beta. That's good.
It worked perfectly fine. I was like, oh my gosh, this is exciting. This is new. Yes, I will be attending. So that was just a cool little feature.
I also love sending feedback. We were doing, we had like the dev kits and stuff too. I was like, oh, I'm going to send you my feedback. Like, this is working great. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much.
That's usually not the feedback we get. The feedback is, I wish this happened and this happened and this didn't work out, but it's good to get both feedback.
We did send a few of those. I was like, I can't tell if it's me personally or for something going wrong, but for the most part, you know.
Well, that was like early before it was even out. Super early, yeah. Which was still so crazy that we talked to you before the Xbox was even out.
Hopefully next year we'll see you out on the stage at E3, but who knows? And hopefully, you know, we'll be able to chat again before a year. But if not, thank you so much for being here. And also, thank you for being our first guest last year when we started our podcast. That was very brave of you. We really appreciate it. And thank you so much for coming back and, you know, just being here. It's really incredible.
First guest and our first recurring guest.
Oh my gosh.
This is so exciting.
This is exciting. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you and have a good weekend.
Yeah. You as well. All the best. Stay safe.
Bye.
Thank you guys so much for watching. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. This was really fun and we always love having Phil on the podcast. So thank you guys for watching or listening. If you guys want to leave us voice messages, you can do so at anchor.fm/samebrain. And of course, here on YouTube, you can leave us some comments, youtube.com/samebrain.
And a special shout out to, once again, Phil Spencer and the team. They wanted to make sure that the quality and everything was really great and up to par and their set looked incredible. So shout out to the team as well. Thank you guys for really, really giving it all here for Same Brain Podcast.
Yes, thank you, Xbox and Microsoft. You guys are amazing. And we'll see you guys in the next episode.